Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
So Father, we thank you that you make all things new, that you pour out your Spirit, that you make us more aware of what you're doing among us so we can follow you. We invite you. We thank you that you wash away our shame, that you call us your own sons and daughters, that you forget the former things and make all things new. We thank you that you're moving in our lives and in the lives of our children, in the lives of our families, that you're moving.
Yes.
We thank you that you're moving on the earth, that you're inviting your people into deeper places. Give us the boldness to respond.
Yes.
Open our ears to hear you calling us. Light the path beneath our feet. Teach us your ways so we may walk in your truth. Give us an undivided heart. We pray that truth would be known far and wide throughout our land. We break the lies of the enemy in Jesus' name off of every generation. We break the lies of the enemy, and we pray that truth would come forth right now in Jesus' name. That as wisdom cries out in the streets, people would turn to find it. We thank you, Lord. And we forgive others as you have forgiven us. And we pray that you would heal our land, that you would be a turning of people back to your heart. You would restore the godly values that defined us in past generations. Sing, yes, I have. Yes, I have another reason to praise him all over again. To magnifying you in every situation, looking for your goodness and how you're moving, no matter what our eyes see, no matter what's happening, we're going to look and trust you to work it out for our good, to move on our behalf. So we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Take a minute and listen to the Holy Spirit. Allow him to speak to you for you. Allow him to illuminate things in your life that he wants to work in or to remove. So you guys may have noticed that the Shantzes are here. They're going to be with us once a month for the next 3 months because I had a dream. You guys want to hear the dream again?
It wasn't a nightmare.
It wasn't a nightmare. Yeah, last time they were coming just to visit with us, and I believe it was Thursday morning, I had a dream. The nutshell of the dream is that all of my cousins wanted to have a meeting at my grandparents' house, and while we were there, we found a secret room, and there was supplies laid up for us. And if our generation used the supplies down the shelves, were gifts for our children. And so there's something the Lord's doing on the earth in this hour where he's pointing us to look back, to learn, to grow, to glean from past generations, to walk out those things, and to move forward and to see our kids walk out their giftings. So I was praying about this, and I asked the Lord this morning, you know, what should I share before worship? And the Lord told me to read Jeremiah 6. Now, you guys know Jeremiah, weeping prophet, right? Jeremiah 6 is the judgment of Judah. I'm not prophesying judgment, but there's a cool verse in Jeremiah 6. It's the one shining star in there. So I'm going to share it with you because it fits in with this. And I feel like the Lord has brought his people into this place right now in this time on the earth. And it's Jeremiah 6:16. And it says, "This is what the Lord says. Stand where the roads cross and look. Ask where the old way is, where the good way is, and walk in it. If you do, you will find rest for yourselves." I'm going to read that again. Jeremiah 6:16. "This is what the Lord says. Stand where the roads cross and look. Ask where the old way is, where the good way is, and walk in it. If you do, you will find rest for yourselves." You want to hear it again? One more time. "Stand where the roads cross and look. Ask where the old way is, where the good way is, and walk in it. If you will do, you will find rest for yourselves." So I just feel like that's an invitation from the Lord this morning. And again, you know, we sang, "Break down the walls of our religion, shake up the ground of our tradition." We're not looking for a system. We're just looking for some treasure that we can apply so we can find rest.
So I'm looking forward to being here more consistently the next 2 months after this. And hope that's okay with you all, because it's certainly okay with us. And I'll work at remembering a few more names, too. The worship, I mean, there were certain things that we sang that just triggered memory in me. And we sang a lot about trusting. "Lord, I trust you." And we declared that, "I trust you, I trust you." And I've been trying to make that a daily declaration for myself. Of just when I get into situations, to be able to say, "I trust you with this, Lord. I trust you." And just declaring that right in the moment when you're there. And you know, when we say that, we're storing treasures in heaven. We're putting our treasures there at a place that they will not rot or spoil, and the thief can't get them. We are adding treasures. When we say, "I trust you, Abba." Because when we're trusting him, it's impossible to worry. It's impossible to have anxiety when we're really declaring it, because you can't do both. It's like you can't walk in faith and fear at the same time. You got to choose one. So if we say, "I trust you, Lord," and a lot of things are running through my head, my grandkids, our finances, our health, our da-da-da-da. "I trust you, Lord." And so you don't worry. So it was so cool singing that and declaring that. Okay, I also have something that I do kind of. I try to do it faithfully. And John asked me to read what he's going to preach on, which is the book of Jude. Before I read it, I always say, "Holy Spirit, illuminate your word." You know, and we also sang that. We talked about that this morning. So, Holy Spirit, illuminate your word to us as we look at your word in the book of Jude. From Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to all who have been called by God, God the Father loves you, and you have been kept safe in Jesus Christ. All mercy, peace, and love be yours. Dear friends, I wanted very much to write to you about the salvation we all share together. But I felt the need to write to you about something else. I want to encourage you to fight hard for the faith that God gave his holy people. God gave his faith once, and it is good for all time. Some people have security entered and entered your. Some people have secretly entered your group. They have already been judged guilty for the things they are doing. Long ago, the prophets wrote about these people. They are against God. They have used the grace of our God in the wrong way to do sinful things. They refuse to accept Jesus Christ, our only Master and Lord. I want to remind you of some things that you already know. Remember that the Lord saved his people by bringing them out of the land of Egypt. But later the Lord destroyed all those who did not believe. And remember the angels who had power but did not keep it. They left their own homes, so the Lord has kept these angels in darkness. They are bound with everlasting chains to be judged on the great day. Also remember the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the other towns around them. They acted as the angels who did not obey God. Their towns were full of sexual sin and men having sexual relations with men. They suffer the punishment of eternal fire as an example for all of us. It is the same with these people who have entered your group. They are guided by dreams. They make themselves dirty with sin. They reject God's authority and say bad things against the glorious angels. Not even the archangel Michael did this. He argued with the devil about who would have the body of Moses. Michael did not dare accuse the devil with insults. He said, "The Lord punish you." But these people say bad things about what they did not understand. They do understand some things, but they understand them not by thinking, but by feeling, the way dumb animals understand things. And these are the very things that destroy them. It will be bad for them. They have followed the way that Cain went. To make money, they have given themselves to doing the wrong that Balaam did. They have fought against God as Korah did, and like Korah, they will be destroyed. They are like dirty spots in the special meals that you share together. They eat with you and have no fear. They take care of only themselves. They are clouds without rain. The wind blows them around. They are trees that have no fruit when it is time and are pulled out of the ground. So they are dead two times. They are like wild waves in the sea. These people do shameful things in the same way waves make foam. They are like stars that wander in the sky. A place in the blackest darkness has been kept for them forever. Enoch, the seventh descendant from Adam, said this about these people. Look, the Lord is coming with thousands and thousands of his holy angels. The Lord will judge every person. He is coming to judge everyone and to punish all who are against God. He will punish them for all the evil they have done against him. And he will punish the sinners who are against God. He will punish them for all the evil things they have said against him. These people always complain and blame others. They always do the evil things they want to do. They brag about themselves. The only reason they say good things about other people is to get what they want. So, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ said before. They said to you, in the last times, there will be people who laugh about God. They will do only what they want to do, things that are against God. These are the people who divide you. They do only what their sinful selves want. They do not have the Spirit. But, dear friends, use your most holy faith to build yourselves up strong. Pray with the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love. Wait for the Lord Jesus Christ with his mercy to give you life forever. Show mercy to people who have doubts. Save them. Take them out of the fire. Show mercy mixed with fear to others. Hate even their clothes, which are dirty from sin. God is strong and can help you not to fall. He can bring you before his glory without any wrong in you and give you great joy. He is the only God. He is the one who saves us. To him be glory, greatness, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord for all time past, now and forever. Amen. And Lord, bless the reading of your word.
Well, I need to tell you, I have so many things to say that we probably ought to count on lunch or maybe dinner even. I'm not going to do that to you. But it just kind of, it seems as though everything's kind of running on overload. And I don't mean overload that it's overbearing. I mean, it's just that God's doing something and he wants to awaken us. Of course, last month I was in James, and James 1:22 talks about don't be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And I thought of the Christian community, how confused it is as to where the truth really lies and all the things that are taking place. And there's many leaders that are endorsing this stuff that's going on around about us that I can't believe that as Christians they're endorsing, but they are. So that was last month, and I couldn't get out of that. Everything I'm doing is, are you doing what really needs to be done as a Christian? Are you acting like a Christian? Would people know that you're a Christian by your behavior or your talk even? And I was like, I'm a mess when I get in those situations. I'm almost don't want to live around me for a while. And but it's been like that. It's like, it's a season of an awakening thing where God is making us more alert to what he really has done. And I brought a song this morning. I don't need any music, I just do it. But it's, I need stuff to remind me the things that God has done that I never ever thought could be possible. And so this is one of those songs. And it was when we first became Christians. Oh, did I hang on this? I held fast to it because I was pretty wretched. I mean, I was a nice guy, but I was a sinner. And I wasn't just a little sinner, a big-time sinner. But I was a nice big-time sinner. You know, it's one of those kind of things. But when you get redeemed and you know that the truth of God's word is, I have forgiven you, and believe it. You mentioned about shame and all that kind of guilt, shame and all that kind of. It's amazing how that can prohibit you and keep you from doing what God has in mind. This song is Jesus Signed My Pardon. I was in sin's prison, oh so dark and cold, just a lost sheep wandering from God's eternal fold. Then the door swung open, Jesus spoke to me, I have signed your pardon, you may now go free. Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know, took my place on Calvary, now I don't have to go. All my life I give him, he gave his for me. When he signed my pardon there on Calvary, since the Savior led me from that awful place, I can hear the angels sing, they sing Amazing Grace. I know I was pardoned from my sin and shame. Now I join their singing, glory to his name. Life is now worth living since I've been set free. I know he was willing to save a wretch like me. Now I own a mansion, not a prison wall, for he signed my pardon. Yes, he paid it all. Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. Took my place on Calvary, now I don't have to go. All my life I give him, he gave his for me. When he signed my pardon there on Calvary. Now that was not just an event. It was an event that took place when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we asked him to be Lord of our life. That was the event. But the effects of the event were far-reaching. Reached over the span of time. It's been 46 years that we've been Christians. And I am still amazed. I haven't lost my amazement of God and what he's able to do. And what he's done. You know, the scripture talks about not calling to mind the former things, but it also says that they would put those stones, memorials, things to remember, and to remember what God has done. It said, don't call to mind going back to where you've come from or where you've been delivered from. And so I'm kind of in this thing, and I started reading Jude. Now I thought, I want to read some books of the Bible. You know, whole book there. and I thought, wow. I read this and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I thought, as probably Jude started out to really want to give, just accelerate the welcome and undergird these new Christians that came in, really wanting to know full well that they ought to really know that God loves them, ought to really know that His peace and His mercy is there in abundance for them. But then all of a sudden, this Amber Alert, I called this. There's about three names I could have used, and maybe I will do them in there. But every once in a while, you're watching your TV or some program, and it's boop, beep, 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 and all these Amber Alerts come. And I think all of a sudden, Jude, he knew what he wanted to do, but he also said, wait a minute, what about those things that are going on that are going to contend and attack these people for their faith? What about the things that are going to be thrown at them by the enemy to try to steal from them that which they've been given? And of course, the tide of our nation, all the things that are taking place there, I'm not wanting to get into a political thing, but we misguide some things. And it always bothered me when especially our former president said we are no longer a Christian nation. I can't tell you what that did to me. I thought, how can this be? How can this be? How can they renounce or denounce or move away from the authority of God? How can they do that? Well, it'd be virtual. Talk, and there's a lot of talk. And it just kind of leaves you with a really sad feeling. And I thought, this can't be true. This can't be true. That's an indictment, a statement, a curse that's trying to be put upon us. And I am not one to believe that. Somehow we're going to come through this, and God will be honored as He deserves to be honored. That's what I was feeling. And as I read this, I kept more and more. I just did more and more. And all these people that are using these smooth-sounding words, in verse 16, it talks about there are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. We have a lot of good talkers. Oh, they have all the fancy words to say, all the things to make you feel like you're really ignorant and you don't know much at all. They are really educated. And they use these words, but they have no intent. There's nothing under the words that are true at all. In fact, it was a political discussion was a couple of years ago that one of the candidates said, if you tell a lie often enough, people believe it. And that's what Hitler did, exactly what Hitler did. And so we're getting inundated with that stuff again. People say they don't know what truth is anymore. Reason being, they have not really got themselves into the Word of God to know where truth comes from. And when Christians get so confused, and I thought, Lord, is it that people aren't paying attention? They're not reading. They don't understand what the Spirit of God says and what it means and how it's to be lived out. How should we carry this thing and not be, I don't want to get to the place where I'm so feared of what God, the enemy's doing that I focus on that and forget about what God's capable of. And I was in that for a couple of years ago. You know, when I was here last, I don't remember what I told you. Don't matter, I'll tell you again. It was 2 years ago, maybe three. I would not accept any appointments to preach. Why? Not that I didn't want to. I was so filled with this political stuff that my mind couldn't really focus other than on that. And I did not want to bring that agenda. That was not what the people need to hear. It wasn't what I needed to hear, but I had to flesh it out. It still wants to come in, and some of it's very true. I never will figure out how people expect a Christian nation to be Christian when it's run by no Christians. Doesn't that seem strange to you? Anyway, I was reading this, and I got caught in it. I thought, oh my. He was encouraging people to contend. What's that word mean, contend? It means somebody's going to try to take it away from you. And if you don't have it established, if you're not into your faith, if you don't understand it, if you haven't undergirded, if you haven't fortified yourself with the Word of God, you're in trouble. And if you don't believe the Holy Spirit of God to be significant, I mentioned in your this morning about the Holy Spirit. I thought, Lord, is what I'm to share this morning what I thought I was to share? Or do you have something else in mind? I don't want to get so locked into what I think people need to hear that I don't hear what the Lord says. And sometimes he will change your course because it's where he wants to take you, not where I think you ought to go, okay? And that excites me. I've never felt demeaned by that. I just felt excited to know that God knows more than I do. And he's given us a lot to be able to share. And so I get excited about the opportunities, whatever that may be. But there's those people that come and they are in. I've witnessed a lot over our years. I've witnessed a lot. And to be a Christian, we really need to, and I should have gone that way pretty much more than this, but there are things that you can understand that really establish your Christian faith. People, first of all, one of them says about loving. John talks about, you see how they love one another, that's a testimony of their faith. Do you know how flaky that is? We have people that confess to be Christians, but they don't love one another. Or if they do, they confess it and then change their mind. Well, we have that happen quite a lot, don't we? It's like sad to say that the divorce rate in the church is just the same as it is in the world. What does that tell you? Something's wrong. Something's wrong. We're confessing something. And I was one of those, by the way. I was one of those guys that said, in sickness and in health and all that kind of stuff. I said that. And I ended up being divorced. Now, what went wrong there? It wasn't my former wife, the one I wanted to blame it on. It was on this guy who didn't have the courage to stand in his confession. It's pretty hard to grapple with. And then I was fortunate enough to find Sandra, made the same confession, and almost broke it again. Except this time, the Lord intervened. And all of a sudden, what I said wasn't good enough. We had a second marriage thing. We had one of those renewal things. And the second marriage was, for us, between us, was more important than the first. Because in the second time, in the renewal, all of a sudden, what I said, I meant. But meaning it, you still have to walk in it. Mm-hmm. You still have to get those moments when you think, oh, why did we get into this relationship? And it'd be easier for us to not be in this relationship. Whatever the stories you tell yourself, the lies. But the Lord wouldn't allow it. We had to work it out. And the more we worked it out, strangely enough, the better it got. I mean, they'll be soon 51 years. That's, wow. But that's what it means, like, to be a Christian, we've got to do the things that it means that we are Christians. The evidence has to create no doubt. And in our nation, we're just in that influx of just information, data all over the place. So I had, I'm not into reading books just for the sake of, well, let me rephrase that. There's a lot of books you can read, but they really don't kind of give you the depth of something. Self-help books, there's all kinds of them. And it gets to the place of where if you think the right things, do the right things, without having God in it, you'll be okay. Well, that's really not true. And back in 9/11, when that all took place, it was one of the most devastating things for our nation. Most devastating. And I began to wonder. And a few years ago, this Jonathan Cahn came out with the book, The Harbinger. I happen to have a couple of these along. I've kind of gotten convicted that I need to buy some of these and just distribute them. What's about Jonathan Cahn? He is a Messianic Jewish rabbi. He is unapologetic for the things of God. He's amazing. And
I came across this book, of course, many others since then, because he's spoken at the presidential breakfast when Mr. Obama was still president, and did not avoid anything because of what his convictions were. I was amazed. And since that time, anyway, the harbinger. A warning, and that's what this red alert is. It's a warning. The book means warning. And it goes into telling about what happened as a result of 9/11 to date. And I think this was maybe 2019. I'm not sure. Just it could have been a little bit longer ago than that. But anyway, I started reading this book. And the neat thing about it is, you know, they don't want to teach history much in schools today because it says history repeats itself. They don't want our kids to know anything about history at all, let alone repeating itself. This book takes what happened to ancient Israel, and it's quite a story, and the same thing, word for word, and other things that were exactly what happened over how many years ago against ancient Israel happened in the United States. History repeated itself word for word, situation for situation. It helped me understand a little bit, and I got excited because of the presentation. They call it a fictional book. It's far from fictional, but the way it's presented, it's kind of like fiction. So I read the book, and I was fascinated. Then I read it again because I wanted to make sure this all lined up with Scripture and everything does. So I read it that second time. Then I read it the third time. I read the third time because I wanted to know the timetable. What was the timetable from 9/11 to date? Now, this has gone back 3 years ago, probably. It is amazing how our country has degraded and degenerated. It's just horrible since 9/11. Well, he's written, the last one I read was The Return of the Gods, and he talks about what happened when Christ was crucified and all the demons and all that kind of stuff were put at, they were restricted, they were put at bay, they were kind of held back, held off. And now, they've been invited to come and do whatever they please. That's what's happening in our society today. So I was concerned because I'm reading in Ezekiel right now, and I'm about chapter 23, I guess, and God is upset with Israel and he's punishing them. And I thought, what is it that we are getting and we're being, we're suffering, but we think in terms of not God doing anything. Loving God, loving God, loving God. But God is very, very upset when we go into idol worship and all these other things as if God doesn't really matter. And some of the statements have been made that God isn't, he's no longer needed. We have our scientists, we have whatever we need, and we'll find a way to get to heaven. We don't need Jesus. And we don't need your prayers and all that kind of stuff have been spoken. It's not like I'm telling you something that's out of my head. It's been spoken against us and our nation, and especially Christians. You know that you are now a threat to the world as Christians? You know that? Do you know that our military have us as threats to our society? Now, it's been taken out, what it was in, few years back. Being a Christian is not a pleasant thing. You're not welcome anymore because you're kind of those people who are opinionated and have religious mindsets, and you want to have us believe in stuff that we don't really want to believe in. So we have been moved way back in the significance. What really happens? Where does that all come from? Well, I think it comes from us not knowing what it means to be a Christian. My personal journey, I have to tell you, whatever I share with you is not because of this guy doing something great. It's God doing something good. And God taking a hold of me and trying to reshape in me what it means to be transformed from me to him. And I can't gather that in my head quite. I mean, I don't see things about myself that other people see, and I shouldn't, because you can come in with all of a sudden you're the object instead of one of the benefactors of the presence of God. And I really get upset with the, now we are to endorse. Some of the words that we get are like, for instance, politically correct. We need to speak politically correct. We also need to have tolerance. Isn't it strange about tolerance? It only goes one way. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, somebody has a different opinion than you, and you start discussing it, and you have a little bit of a different opinion. Next thing you know, I had one guy wanted to fight me. I knew he was. I couldn't believe it. I actually wanted to fight him. But I couldn't, because what would my witness be then? And it was all about this vaccine thing. I didn't want to get the vaccine. He got his vaccine. He thought I should get a vaccine. I told him no. And he really got indignant. And I said, look, you're entitled to your opinion. You choose to get the vaccination, that's fine. I'm not. That should be fine with you. Well, it wasn't. And I don't know if that guy's talked to me since. But it was amazing what I had to subdue in myself. Had I not, where does my testimony go? I'm just like that guy, just no different. And I thought, well, okay, we get these warnings. But you know, we've had, in 1889, the Johnstown flood. You may have heard of it. I wasn't here then. But the Johnstown flood was really a devastating event. There was a warning that went out that the people should get out of the town because the dam was breaking. I don't know how many warnings, but the one warning, the one guy that sent it, instead of sending a telegraph, he sent a horseman, which would have certainly taken longer to get to Johnstown to tell the people. 2,200 people, more than 2,200 people, died in that flood because they did not believe the warning. Devastation. Did not believe the warning. Are we somewhat in that same state, same place? I think we're being given opportunities to know that everything that happens that is not normal, climate control, change, all the kind of things they want to attribute it to, other than God sending harbingers to warn us, to make us aware. Now, I'm older, but how many of you were ever confused about your physical identity? How many of you didn't know if you were a boy or a girl? How many of you thought that if I decide not to be what I am, I can be anything I want? How many of you ever had to contend with that? Were you taught that in school? They are now. They are now. Transgender. The problem is we start hating the people instead of the sin. That's where the problem comes in. And I thought, okay, so these people, my sin wasn't any greater in the eyes of God than theirs. But we moved away. We were regenerated, transformed, whatever the term you want to use. Something was made anew. We were moved from where we had been to where we needed to go, and we're still needing to keep going. It's not a place where we finally arrived and I can stop now, no more. It's just I know enough about God now and what he wants. I don't have to him tell me anymore what I need to do. Oh, no. More so now today than ever. It's so subtle. I need to go to Psalm 51. And Psalm 51, it would be a good idea to read it. But in verse, I think it's verse 10, it talks about, see if there be any wicked way in me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And it goes on. That is a real thing of repentance of sin,
wanting to really make a life-changing awareness that we really need to be transformed. We can't do it on our own. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge." But Psalm 51 is about a story of sin and repentance, exposing sin and being set free of its grip. And there's a lot of that goes on. There's stuff that we have been dealt with, have dealt but not have dealt with, to get rid of the places in our lives. And I'm pretty transparent, maybe too transparent at times. But it's like I don't want to have anything take hold of me that I all of a sudden withdraw and I become secretive. I don't want anybody to know this about me. That's the worst place in the world to get. Because your mind is saying, everybody knows, but you're still denying. And the Lord has made way for us to be set free. And I am so grateful that the Lord broke that in me. Because if I'm not going to hold it, there's not many people that can point fingers because of all. My one cousin, his dad said, if they knew about him, he'd never be a pastor. My cousin said, they already know. They already know. And I, you don't know how free that is to not be looking over your shoulder of the past trying to find you out. I had a funny thing that happened just a couple weeks ago. A young lady, well, she was not young, but she was a very attractive young lady. I was in a Walmart and she started talking to me. And I'm thinking, I don't remember who she is. And then I thought, oh my God, what part of my life was she? I mean, really? And I thought, I don't know who she is. And she kept talking and kept talking. And she was very nice. Well, then I remember I used to be into a softball, basketball, softball. And this was a girl that was on the Twin Slope girls team. And she was a teacher, this nice person, and she knew my daughter and blah, blah, all that kind of stuff. But I was so relieved to find out who she was that it wasn't from back there someplace. It was okay. It was just okay. And it was a good conversation. But it's like there's this, things happen, just keep happening. And yesterday, I was going to drop something off at my friend's house. And on the way, there was a yard sale. Imagine something happened at a yard sale. Well, there was a picture there that was an ocean scene. Sandy loves ocean scenes. She loves the ocean. And a beautiful picture. And it wasn't really big, but she has a great big one, pretty much the same. And but this one in the bottom was signed by Grace. What? Now, this was a lady's name, but our ministry is Waves of Grace. And I saw that and I thought, I got to get that for my wife. That's no big spiritual thing, no thunder, no lightning, nothing, just something that just was happening. And then they got talking to the lady, and she had a bunch of books, and she wanted to know if I'd be interested in taking them after they got ready. Well, that's what the one book she gave me. It's funny how God gets your attention when you're not even thinking that he's watching yet. The biggest lie. God is not dead. God is not dead. So in all this journeying, I went through this time of having to make sure that my faith was genuine. We had a bad year, you could say, in some senses. It was really, Sandy had cancer, hip replacement, just this, the day before yesterday, last Saturday night. No, Friday night. Very sick. Really sick, violently sick, and I'm standing there saying, "Lord, Lord, you gotta watch over us. We don't know." And I went through a time of saying, "Lord, did I do something wrong? I was praying for our healing. Did I do something wrong? What have I missed? What am I not doing? Why aren't my prayers seeming to get through to you? Why am I seeing my wife suffer?" And I felt helpless. I can't do anything. And then it was that thing of there are times when you have to go through something because your testimony of his faithfulness is meted out then. He isn't always going to keep you from the affliction.
He'll let you go through it. I've got a number of stories about that. In fact, I thought this morning maybe I was to go that trail. Because one of the things that I needed to have was, it wasn't that I wasn't praying right. It was that I was losing focus on God's promise. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Is it really true? And then the way she came through her cancer, the way she came through her hip operation, she's here today. God is faithful. And I had to walk. She suffers. I was beginning to get in the place of doubting. I can't afford to get in that place, because in that place the enemy has a playground. Really harasses you. Really does all kinds of stuff to you. And we can't go there, because that tells us that the people that we get upset with, whose faith is being challenged, we're no better than they are. And so we need to realize that faith is going to be challenged. And some of the times we need to stand next to people when they're going through stuff and really support them, walk with them, talk with them, cry with them if you need to, because sometimes that happens. And this season that we're in our world today, the church has to take a little bit of a change for many. For some, it's a total, absolute change. What's the church going to look like? Are we going to be like these weak-kneed people? We can't stand. We're doing all kinds of things to make it attractive, whatever. No. No. We are going to see God's hand. I went through Isaiah with Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and I thought, oh my God, my God is so desperately wanting our love that he really doesn't want to tolerate us going astray. And the things that they're facing, now I don't know what happens after 23 and Ezekiel, but I know one thing, leading up to that, I'm thinking, oh my, God is really upset. And that's true of our nation. I really believe he's true of our nation. And back a few years ago, before the former election, he had me read, in August of that year, he had me read Esther. I thought, what about this Esther thing? So I read Esther, and the equivalent was that Haman, wicked Haman, and he had not yet reached the peak of his evil, and then finally he did, and then of course God stepped in. Although it doesn't say God stepped in, just God stepped in. That's all I have. So the election took place, and I was sure that I knew what was going to happen. President Trump was going to win again. He didn't. And then I thought, uh-oh, what went wrong? What was I missing? And it was that the time is not yet. Evil has not reached its not yet. And it's like happening since then. It's really gotten worse. Really gotten worse. And I thought, okay, Lord, what do we do? How do we navigate this? I am trustworthy. I am in control. I'm not amiss of anything that's taking place. And there'll be a time when I will say that is enough. But it's not yet. Why not yet? Because there are thousands of people that he wants to see come into the kingdom. He holds off, not because the evil is there, but because he wants those who are lost to come. He holds off so that they won't miss the opportunity. It's going to depend on us to be good ambassadors, good witnesses, live lives that give clear indication that no matter what's taking place out there, our love for God is consistent, it's constant, it's not going to change. So that's where we find ourselves. Now, how do we navigate all that? That's where Psalm 51 comes in. Create in me a pure heart, Lord. And please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Don't remove your Holy Spirit from me. The Holy Spirit gets overlooked and ignored quite a lot, unfortunately, because we have a hard time believing something we can't see. But I'm more dependent on the Holy Spirit. When I came here today, I thought of all the things I could say, and there's many more. And I've deviated from what I was going to say, by the way. Mainly because I don't want to be, I want to be aware of what the enemy's doing, but I don't want to focus on that as if that is, he's undefeatable, we can't. He's finally been victorious in the whole world, all this stuff that's going on. We have to say, man, he is running well. He is, but he's fearful. He's running out of fear, trying to do as much destruction and destroy as he possibly can. And it's up to us to hold fast and say, Lord, I can't hardly hold on anymore. There's so much pressure. There's so much going on. I can't really hold on much anymore. Are you going to help me? Can you? Will you? That kind of stuff. Yes, he will. Yes, he can. Yes, he will. Yes, he can. And one day, he will move. When that's going to be, I thought it was a couple years ago. There was one thing that came. I feel that God put Trump in position to be president that year, regardless of political situations. We're not going to argue about that. I was thinking it was a spiritual war. It wasn't an election. It wasn't an election. But people got to put more into trusting Trump than they did God. You know, put Trump's here and God's here, but God should be here and Trump should be here. It was just reversed. And so when people got their alliances wrong, things changed. So we're in that place of where we can expect transitions, but we need to get some helps. And this book is not a, without this book is nothing, okay? But it's so helpful to see how the enemy works. So helpful to understand. The last book that I read was The Return of the Gods. It was really, oh my gosh, it made me understand what happened even before in our very own lives and journey, how the enemy had, I was one of those guys that Satan was using. I was thought I was a good guy, all right, but I wasn't working the right things, doing the right things for the right purposes at all. And then to think that the Lord changed all that, brought us out of that. If God can save a jerk like me, he can save anybody. It's just, so I thought, okay, Lord, then I'm going to trust you, and I can leave all these things, but there's this last part in verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. My God is not diminished. My God has not lost his power nor his authority. No one has taken it away from him. And he will redeem everything that the enemy has thought he conquered. So when we are wanting to express our faith, make sure that we believe what he's told us, who he is, what he's capable of, in spite of anything else. I had a couple of stories I could tell you that blew me away, even remember them, where God moved in some situations that I thought was impossible. And he moved through them like no big deal. So anyway, I also have Lester Zimmerman, who's oversight leads the network, just came out with a new book. It's called Understanding Homosexuality and Transgenderism. Very good book to help understand. And to help understand that these people are victims. And if we get that mentality that these are victims and we're not fighting the individual but the dominion and stuff that wants to grab hold of them and confuse them, it changes how we react. And so these are available. I'm not in a book. I hate to think of selling, but I think this is $8. This is one little pamphlet I have. It's free. And these are like 10. I'm thinking about
buying a bunch of them just to distribute them, but I'm not in the distributing of books. You guys totally get that mixed up. But I want to thank you for letting us come today, and I know that I did a dog leg kind of, but sometimes Sandy mentioned on the way over, which struck my ear, she says, this is horrible, this is hard, because this is, we're dealing with people in the church some places, and the church has to break away to let its testimony be one where God's faithfulness is there. And we're going to go through different, you know, we're different, we're made different, we think different, but when we get to this place of coming into agreement, we don't fight, we contend with the thing, we work through it, and we don't let it be a divisive thing. We can really get in a mess with our opinions and ideas and not accomplish much. And in fact, if you read Revelation 12:10, it talks about the accuser of the brethren. I was really upset when I found out that there were many years and things I did which I thought were right. I was actually assisting the enemy more than I was our Savior. What I did was right, but it was applied wrong. Applied wrong. And that's so easy to get caught in that at times. And if we take time to really navigate through that to where truth, there's a truth. Even though people say there is no truth, there is an absolute truth. We know who the truth is. We know how it comes, where we're to get it, what we're to do. So thank you again. Lord, I just want to thank you for the awesomeness and the privilege of being able to share in a place drawn together for your intent and purposes. And I ask your blessing upon them as they navigate these torrid waters. There's times, Lord, when we get into these difficult situations, and we must realize that you're one who helps us to navigate the difficult, to make the impossible possible. You can transform and change and shape us into a vessel that is being set right and sent forward, established and founded on the foundations of your word, your principles, and the character of Christ ought to be able to be seen and witnessed in us. So we beseech you, Lord God, to help us to find those places. And in that journey, let people be drawn to places where we really want to share the truth of God's love and all of his purposes and principles to those who need to come to a place of faith in you. Help us, Lord, to navigate these waters profitably, safely, fruitfully, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm digging a well in the valley of my weeping. I'm